In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all like celebrations. We all like family events that evoke joy in our hearts. Birthdays, weddings, anniversaries. We enjoy going to carnivals and concerts and crawdads games. But that wasn't the way it was for Jesus. Of course, he came into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday with great acclaim. The crowds cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna means save us now. But the crowds soon dwindled. The acclaim that was upon their lips evaporated. And instead, over the next 3.5 days, Jesus confronted those who were trying to crucify him. There was much debate, and Jesus bested them all. The high priests, the leaders of the people, saw Jesus as a threat, as someone who would take away their place as rulers over the nation. And so, as you know, they found Judas Iscariot, who was willing to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And it happened on the night of what we know as Maundy Thursday, when Jesus' passion began in earnest. And Jesus' passion continued until just before sundown the following Friday. We know the story, we know the gospel accounts, we have heard them all of our lives. And it isn't a new story to us. It's familiar. But, you know the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. And if not contempt, certainly it can breed indifference. Indifference to the greatest tragedy of all, the greatest crime of all, the murder of God, the murder of the Messiah, the Christ, the murder of the Savior. We heard in the gospel reading how Pilate handed over Jesus to the will of the people, to the will of those who were demanding his crucifixion. But of course, it was not Pilate's will that was ultimately responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. It was the will of God the Father. It was the will of Christ himself, the eternal Son of God, who took upon himself human flesh and blood, which we rightly celebrate and rejoice in at Christmas, but ultimately so he could die on the cross in your place, in my place, so that what Jesus prayed after he was nailed to the cross could be fulfilled. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, there are times when we sin, when we know full well what we are doing. We embrace temptation with passion and even delight. We yield to temptation, and we break the laws of God. God grant that when this happens, we would all feel the sorrow of contrition, of repentance, and we would remember that Jesus was offered up on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus died for the sins that are unknown to us, the sins that we unknowingly commit. But it's not just for those sins that he died. It's all of our sins, each and every one of your sins. He bore them all on the cross. While Jesus was on the cross, the rulers of the Jewish nation scoffed at him. Ha! They mocked him. He saved others. He delivered others from demons and sickness and paralysis and oppression and even death. Because remember, Lazarus was raised just a short time before Jesus was crucified. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, God's chosen one. And the soldiers who did the dirty work of our Lord's crucifixion also mocked him. They came to him and offered him sour wine on a sponge on a stick and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." But he would not save himself. Consider the epistle for today from Philippians chapter 2. Though Jesus was in the form of God, though he was God by nature, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to. But he emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave, forget servant, the word is slave, being born in the likeness of men, Christ's state of humiliation. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We all know what Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. "Father, if it be your will, let this cup be taken away from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done." And this was God's will. What we have heard about today, what we will hear about on Maundy Thursday, and on Good Friday, this was God the Father's will for Jesus. Because how else could he be saved if he did not save himself? How else could we be saved unless he became obedient to the point of death on a cross? Sometimes you and I are one of the thieves on the cross, one of the criminals crucified with Jesus, and sometimes we are the other. Your old sinful nature that still clings to you despite your baptism wants to say, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Are you not the Christ? Then deliver me from this affliction. Are you not the Christ? Then give me what I want. Are you not the Christ? Then let me get this nice new car. Are you not the Christ? Then let me get this nice new house." But then there was the penitent thief, whom you could say represents the new nature we have in Christ, the new Adam, the new creation that we are in Christ. "Do you not fear God?" says to the sinful nature. "Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, And we indeed justly are under that sentence of condemnation. But we do not receive the due reward of our deeds, because this man, though he had done nothing wrong, was crucified to bear our sins away. And so we can confidently say, when the time comes for us to die, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And we have the promise of Jesus to the penitent thief. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. But you don't have to wait until you die for Jesus to remember you. Jesus remembers you in love and mercy and compassion now. He remembers you because you are baptized into his death and resurrection. He remembers you because through faith in Christ, you are now a child of God. You are now a brother or sister of Jesus. And today, even though we aren't in paradise, Jesus is with us, and we are with him in this divine service. We are with him, and he is with us as we come to the sacrament to partake of his body and blood offered up on the cross. If Pilate had not handed over Jesus to the will of the people, if God the Father had not willed for Jesus to be delivered up on the cross, there would be no body and blood of Christ to partake of for the forgiveness of sins today. And our being here would be completely pointless. We could all be doing better things. But what better things are there than to be with Jesus in this little paradise, this foreshadowing of paradise restored? What better place to be for us Christians who trust in Christ than to be present where his word is proclaimed, where we have our sins absolved, where we gather, if you will, at the foot of the cross and receive the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice of his body and blood. We're told that the sixth hour, it's about noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. Matthew references that when he says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those living in the land of the shadow of death, a great light has dawned." Jesus entered darkness, the condemnation of his Father for our sins, so that the light of Christ, God's love and mercy, could shine upon you and upon me. During those 3 hours of darkness, Jesus was bearing the sins of the world. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he, the holy, innocent Son of God, became sin for us so that we might in him become the righteousness of God. And then his work on the cross nearing its completion, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You can say that too when the time comes for you to die. You can say that too committing yourself into your Heavenly Father's hands because of Jesus. Because he suffered and died for you. Because, as we'll celebrate next Sunday, he was raised again in the body for you. And thus you are redeemed in body and soul. Body and soul. That's important. The body is important because otherwise, why would God the Son have taken upon himself a body in the incarnation? Remember always that you are acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. That Jesus has done the work of cleansing you. Jesus has done the work by which you are now justified, declared righteous for his sake. Jesus has accomplished the work of your salvation, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, you can add to it. Remember what Jesus said? It is finished. That means it is accomplished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.